All right, the first thing I'd like to do is play a clip from an episode of Deep Space Nine. Bear with me here.
Of course.
It's from the episode called Homefront in Season 4, episode number 11. Brief synopsis. Sisko is recalled to San Francisco after a terrorist bombing reveals that changelings have reached Earth.
Ten minutes ago, we received a recording of a high-level diplomatic conference that took place between the Federation and the Romulan Empire on Earth 2 days ago. Computer, begin replay at time index 5911.
A bomb.
Okay. Note what Worf said. Replay from time index 5911.
Ooh.
Now, this episode was aired January 1st, 1996. 1996 plus 5 is 2001.
Whoa.
So Worf's telling, it, or making a prediction, about a terrorist attack on 9/11, 2001.
Oh, there's no end to Star Trek and it's all his knowledge.
They knew everything.
All of it.
That's only the first one I found. I'm sure there's lots more predictions in Star Trek,
mm-hmm.
especially Deep Space Nine. The one that deals specifically with non-linear time.
So, the last episode that we did, we talked about, what we need to survive if something bad happens.
Right.
And we went over a lot of really great things, but one thing that we didn't really talk about was practicing. You know, make sure the stuff that you got works. Like, if you got a generator, make sure it works. And don't blow yourself up with it, because I've heard a few people doing that.
Yeah, helps not to do that. Mm-hmm. Likewise with weapons and...
Mm-hmm. Practice with your guns. Know what you're doing.
Know how to clean your gun.
Oh, that's very important.
Holy
very
shit.
Important. So, anyway.
Yeah, that's an important thing to keep in mind.
So, do you want to talk about 9/11 today?
Sure. Right. I didn't have a specific plan for this one.
No, neither did I. But, that's a nice intro. So... the videos that we've seen of 9/11, of the planes attacking or flying into them, if you look at them all, like time-wise and just angle of trajectory, I know we're dealing a lot with angles and whatnot, but it doesn't line up too good.
There's the thing that you showed me where it seemed to be that they were putting in like a matte image of a jet crashing into it.
Yeah.
Which makes some sense, because if it was a missile, you wouldn't be able to see it for shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think they were even still all standard definition in 2001.
Probably.
Even more obscure.
Mm-hmm.
We just need some HD footage and we can see right through it.
Yeah.
Like when Star Wars came out. What else? Oh, Aliens. Poor Aliens. They need to remaster that, because you can see where the shot ends and the matte painting begins in every single shot.
Oops. Oops. And then there's the Pentagon, the 5 frames of video that we got. That just shows like... a little glimmer of light and then the explosion.
Yeah, it's like a single pixel and then just rubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the hole, like, doesn't match what a plane would look like, and there's no damage from where, like, these huge engines, probably the thing that would cause most damage, like, the engines hitting, would probably cause the most damage, I think. Or some of the most.
Well, and then it just so happened to hit a part of the building that had a whole bunch of possibly incriminating files.
Well, it was the place that had all the files that I think it was Rumsfeld. Rumsfeld was talking about. Anyway, the day before
him or Cheney.
The day before 9/11, they went on to CNN and was like, "We can't find $2 trillion."
That was the day before 9/11? Because that's
before.
Also happened in Iraq, only they weren't forced to admit anything about it.
Hmm. Weird. But yeah, Jesse Ventura, like, he knows about that.
You know, they, just the good consumer practices in our American culture, mm-hmm. say you don't pay cash in some place like Iraq if you're gonna at all need to dispute where that money went.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just appeal to PayPal Iraq and they'll restore it. That cash is gone forever.
Mm-hmm.
And if they didn't write down the exact numbers of each bill, then hell, it could be in your wallet right now.
Hmm. And you'd be aiding terrorism.
Yeah. By, well, fuck. I was gonna make some snide comment about poppies and heroin, but our troops guard those fields, so what? Do you support terrorism or the troops? Or both? When you buy drugs abroad?
Hmm.
Not that I would ever do that or condone doing that in any way, shape, or form.
Agreed. How about the thermite, the liquid molten metal?
Okay, so that theory is that it was implanted in the core pillars,
mm-hmm. like,
and ignited
months, or at least a month in advance to the actual happenings. President Bush's little brother was head of security.
Right, I was reading about that, and there's reports of, like, janitor crews coming in at weird times,
yeah.
and, like, well, going places they weren't supposed to be.
It was crews coming in after the last people left at night, so the janitors at night, they'd leave, and then these crews would come in, and then before people would come in to work, these crews would leave, and no one knew about it, and, like, security, like, bomb-sniffing dogs weren't allowed in the building for a couple weeks before it happened. I think the actual security, or some of the security, was told not to come in the weekend of.
Yeah, I read some of that. There's a couple of security,
mm-hmm.
not quite breaches,
but anomalies.
Yeah, conspicuous behavior.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there also something about not being allowed on certain floors?
Probably. It wouldn't surprise me. A lot of the offices that were initially hit were, like, into the research and development of the thermite. And, like, what about Building 7? Where did that... No plane hit that, and it still came down. Quite controlled looking, might I say.
Yeah, that one was full of paperwork also.
CIA, FBI, government.
Did you see the shit today, as of this recording, about Petraeus having to step down as director of the CIA?
No, I didn't see that.
General Petraeus, yeah, he's gone.
Hmm.
Or the story is that he had an affair or something. But that seems easy to cover up.
Well, you know, it's 2012. It's not a huge deal that people know about that.
Yeah, morally.
Yeah.
I kept hearing arguments like, he's a security breach now because somebody could fuck their way to his information, potential, you know, like seduction.
The new James Bond.
The old honeypot.
Yeah.
You know. The one where I get to seduce a hot secret agent.
People have gone into simulators and tried to recreate the maneuvering that the planes did. Like 180 degree turns and then lowering altitude, reaching speeds of like 550 miles an hour, and then hitting a target that's like roughly the size of what you're using. And they did it pretty much spot on. I mean, but like the people in the simulator couldn't do it. Like once you get to that speed, like, oh, you're just jumping everywhere. It's like you've lost control in a car and you're about to careen off the highway.
I heard that some of the actual procedures to accomplish that flight would be impossible to do in the cockpit due to hand strength limitations.
Well, yeah, that's
the good one. The theory being that they remotely controlled them into it with the same stuff they use for drones.
Yeah.
So they could have just, like, taken over. There doesn't even need to be terrorists. Just
yeah, it could have just... Boop. The pilots were just in there, like, what the shit's going on here?
And then on the remote console, they don't actually need hand strength to work the flaps or whatever. They just send the command.
Mm-hmm.
And an actuator puts 1,000 pounds of force on it or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably not 1,000. That would destroy things. That's like those exoskeletons they're building.
Well, you know, yeah. Do you think that a plane could cause such damage to a concrete and steel structure on its own? Or do you think it would have to have help? I mean, let's just say that there were planes, and everything happened like we saw.
Maybe if you loaded the passenger area with explosives or something, because planes aren't really that durable. They're not made to go through things.
They're made to fly.
Yeah, there's a part in Apollo 13 where Tom Hanks is talking about how there's nothing between him and the vacuum but, like, tinfoil and fiberglass. He could punch through it if he wanted to.
How could it survive that vacuum? I don't know. Okay, yeah.
But planes aren't that different.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a little more resilient.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of opposite of what I think would be, but okay.
Well, they have to be light.
Yeah. And I understand that, but I think like if you gotta go into outer space, you should have
a little bit of protection.
But it was a race. It was a race. We had to get there at no matter what the cost.
Well, it just shows you, like, if you can build the best bubble, you can pretty much ride out all the crazy shit that's going on up there. Mm-hmm. It's like they went up to the moon and they didn't get irradiated or anything.
Yeah.
I think they did end up getting, like, several years' dosage that they would have on Earth, but hardly enough to damage you.
Yeah. You would have got that anyway.
Eventually,
yeah.
But the Enterprise seems pretty strong. Or what have you.
Yeah, photon torpedo impacts and shit.
Although every time it goes through the shields, it pretty much wreaks havoc.
The shields are important.
So maybe they just have extra strong sheet metal, and that's about it.
Now, the deflector dish doesn't do anything with the shield.
The
right?
Deflector dish.
The multiple use, it's a Swiss Army knife of the Enterprise.
Yeah, if the way to survive something is to do something outside the ship, it has something to do with the deflector dish.
Okay, never mind. But it's just the Swiss Army knife.
Supposedly, it pushes things out of the way.
Mm-hmm, all the tiny...
Yeah, because traveling at light speed would just sort of erode your ship into nothing grains of sand hitting it.
They have to drop their shields to go to warp, right?
I don't think so.
Hmm.
Right. It's like, you remember when Barclay gets really smart?
Yeah.
And he increases the shields by 1,000% or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they're at warp then.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Although I get it confused with the one where he turns into a spider.
Genesis.
Genesis, I get that one confused with... Masaka is waking.
Oh, the one where Data gets multiple personalities. And the ship... Oh, no, it's the one where the ship downloads the weird data from the, like, a ancient space probe.
Yeah, that's, like, in a comet.
Yeah. Somehow, even though they have space-faring technology, they really still like pyramids. Really all about
pyramids. It was like their archive, though.
That's true.
Maybe they were dying. Like in that other episode, where Picard gets that probe beaming a lifetime into his brain in 20 minutes. And he learns the flute.
Good times.
What is that song that he learns?
Frere Jacques.
No, he already knows Frere Jacques.
Oh.
You know, I got a problem with that fucking song.
Do tell.
When I was in preschool, they taught it to us. But the English words they taught were Brother John, are you sleeping? And so on and so forth. But Frère Jacques is French for Brother Jack.
That's true.
And also in the English one, they say, morning bells are ringing. And in the French one, the... I don't know what the English equivalent is. It's Sonne la mattina. Those are the bells like matinee. You know, that time. So, like, he's a lazy bitch that's been sleeping all day. In the English version, it's just, he's a guy who gets up in the morning. There's no... They take out all of the lesson...
Welcome to America.
Oh shit, this background song has Richard Garriott talking. Digital. We're in the digital realm.
The thing that hit the Pentagon went like three layers deep.
Yeah, don't they have walls like with little almost courtyards in between?
Yeah.
For some tactical reason, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, it was to survive impacts like this better.
It sounds like a cruise missile hit it. Yeah. Straight up.
Well, missiles are designed to impact and then explode.
Yeah, they're also designed not to be like insulated and thin and maneuverable. Well, maneuverable, sure, but they're like a point in space, pretty much, with a rocket on it. No. And people described what they thought was a Cessna or a single-engine plane. And it's basically what a cruise missile looks like. It has little stubby wings and a tail.
Yeah. And it can easily go, like, 500 miles an hour.
Yeah,
and probably pass over, you know, the light poles that were, like, knocked down around the Pentagon would have ripped the wings off.
Yeah, they don't resist that.
But the light poles that are knocked over, they look like they were pulled down. Like, there's no damage to them. And then the debris that they find in the courtyards and things like that is all, like, perfect.
Like they pulled down the poles themselves, or like
like you know how when a car hits a light pole, there's a dent.
Like yeah,
there's a dent from where the car.
Oh,
hit.
So okay, these are like the aluminum poles, right?
It almost looks like they were positioned to be put up. If I remember right, I don't know. There might have been some damage to the light poles, but they looked in pretty darn good condition for being run over by a plane. In my opinion.
If it was anything bigger than a single engine plane, there would be a huge debris field. Like,
not if it was incinerated while it was all in there burning. Like we were told.
Have you ever put metal in a campfire.
Yeah, don't burn.
Sometimes it might melt down if you get a nice big one going, but... Mm-hmm. What's the fuel supposed to burn it? It's significantly less than...
I think it was only like 1,000, maybe 2,000 degrees.
Yeah. 2,000 is hot, or is hot enough to melt metal, but...
But see, the jet fuel is designed to burn really quick.
Yeah, not necessarily so hot.
That would be burned up pretty quick, and then, like, wood and carpet and people would have been the rest of the fuel. The Empire State Building was hit by a plane. Like, I think it was back in 1980-ish.
And didn't it damage a few floors, or a fraction of a few floors?
Yeah, you know, it
had, like, a, cratered it.
It had, yeah, it cratered the side of the building. But it didn't bring down the Empire State Building.
And what about, like, in True Lies, when the... when the plane... Well, I guess it just sort of nicks the building with the tail.
Yeah.
But note how nothing melts or explodes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There was a high-rise or a skyscraper in another country that actually burned all the way to the ground, but the frame is still there.
Okay, I'm on Wikipedia, and it says Jet A fuel, which has the highest burning temperature, is around 600 degrees Fahrenheit.
Holy
open
shit.
Burning temperature. So significantly less than you need to melt steel.
Yeah.
Fuck, that fact alone kind of monkeys up a lot of the scenario that have been sold.
Yeah. What about, like, the... What's the protection that we have? It's what they can do, like, take over a plane. Is it NORAD?
NORAD's the one in the mountain, like in war games.
Okay. Well, for how well we're supposed to be protected against something like that, it failed miserably. And, like,
yeah.
some of the jets were, like, even told to stand down. And, like, they were conveniently doing exercises, so they kind of dismissed a lot of things. And
fuck, they could have shot it down.
What if there was only three planes, and the third plane that was hijacked was actually headed somewhere else, and it came down due to the people on the plane? But they used it as an opportunity to launch an alleged fourth plane that hit the Pentagon.
And that's when they launched the missile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As like a backup plan? Because wasn't that one going to hit the Pentagon?
Well, I think I thought they had four targets, or three targets. The World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and the White House. Or maybe even the State Capitol, too. But
they don't talk much about that.
Yeah. Well, they don't talk much about the Pentagon either.
No,
it's always very focused on the towers, which is, you know, I mean,
well, that's the one that's gonna tug at your heartstrings and make you feel like it's okay to go into endless war.
No. You know, they've openly said that the reason behind Vietnam was a red flag attack.
Like a false flag attack?
A false flag. It never happened.
The Bay of Tonkin?
Mm-hmm. Tonkin Bay.
Yeah, and wasn't there a Cuban one before Bay of Pigs?
I'm sure.
I don't think they're all named after bays, but...
The 9/11 Bay.
Yeah, we'll just call it sort of like how they make every political scandal a something gate.
Oh, yeah.
Now all the false flag events are...
Bays.
9/11 Bay. eBay. Uh-oh. Ah!
Explosions on the lower levels. These sealed up elevator shafts that ran up and down the Trade Center.
They sealed them?
Well, like...
Like, filled them with concrete?
No. Like, they were, like... The air shaft itself was actually sealed up from outside elements or something like that. Maybe like an...
What does that do?
I don't know. They apparently had it. Anyway, would a flame be able to travel down, 100 flights of stairs and burst out of the lobby elevator?
That sounds like some explosion shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But it was like strong enough to shatter all the glass on the lobby and stuff. And it was pretty thick glass, apparently. And there's reports of the explosion actually happening before the plane hit. And what about all the explosions as the tower's coming down? I mean, like, and there's... It free fell. There was no resistance at all from the floors below it. Because, like, World Trade Center, the first one that came down, the one that was hit in the middle, came down in, like, 8 seconds. And then the other one came down in like 9.4. That's really fast.
I'm trying to think of other times buildings have fallen and like there's like Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
But that even went, that's a suspicious one too.
Yeah.
Do you think the assumption is that there were some charges placed to shear off those main girders.
Columns, yeah.
So there was provide no resistance. Most of the support for all of those floors.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think if those don't break, but a huge chunk is falling, it would just sort of tear them out all the way to the bottom rather than snap?
Well, I think that, they told us that it was the weight that came down on it that made it all pancake in on itself. But I would imagine that it'd come down in, like, jolts. Like, the first half of the building would fall on the, like, that one floor would buckle. And then it would buckle. And then
yeah, I know I've seen that before.
Yeah.
Maybe earthquake footage or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Or, like, yeah. Like a parking garage or something. But, I don't know. It went straight through itself. And I think I've seen a video of, like, the antenna on the first tower to be hit actually like drops in and then the building starts to fall, like you'd see in a controlled demolition. The middle goes and then the outside goes, so it all comes in and falls in on itself, so there's relatively little debris spread throughout the area.
Yeah, that's what they do in controlled demolitions, is it not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So...
But there's like 3 or 4 flights of the building below where the building's coming down. You see explosions happening.
Like secondary explosions, mm-hmm. Or sequenced explosions.
Sequenced, yeah. And it goes all the way down the side of the building. And there's like, the video with the molten, the building puking molten steel.
Yeah, that's not supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Especially if there's tons and tons of, literally tons, of jet fuel burning at a raging 600 degrees Fahrenheit. Let's just say the fuel for which the jet fuel was an accelerant, so the pieces of building, were enough to get it to double the heat that it would normally be. That's still only 1,200 degrees. It's enough to make metal red hot, but not enough to make it molten.
Well, they're tested at 2,000 degrees, or the beams, the steel beams, metal beams. They're tested at 2,000, but they go all the way to 3,000 before they're actually about to melt.
Yeah, the company wants give in in that statistic.
Yeah. So
okay. It's fishy enough to say, all right, it's possible that there's some shenanigans going on.
No!
Let's just assume that they're happening, or happened. What's the goal?
To put us into Iraq.
But for what? For the oil?
Probably the oil and the... Well, what's the thing that all the cell phones use now?
Lithium?
Lithium, isn't
lithium
there?
Lithium for lithium-ion batteries?
Yeah. Isn't there some sort of vein underneath Afghanistan or Iraq or something?
Afghanistan is pretty much one giant mountain, and it's filled with precious metals.
Hmm.
And a dragon. That's why nobody can control it.
Yeah, the, that sounds like a good place to go, take for ourselves.
There
but
you go.
Since we weren't finding any WMDs, we had to think of something to get in our foot in the door.
Well, and in terms of capturing oil, we're almost done. We just gotta get Iran and, the Sudan out of the way, and we can occupy all of the main exporting waterways, and, you know,
tax the fuck out of it.
Institute a no-fly zone so only approved United States aircraft can get in and out if they're hauling oil or refueling or shooting down pirate Somalian oil smugglers. You know why there's so many Somali pirates?
Why?
Because a bunch of companies came in and just started dumping toxic waste in their territorial waters. And they were mostly fishermen by culture.
Mm-hmm.
So now all the fish died.
What
and
do you do?
Originally they wanted just to stop the dumping, so they would go aboard these boats and hold the people ransom.
Yeah.
But
it sounds like a noble cause.
Yeah, but then they found out that, well, since all the fish are dead, and we can get a lot of money for ransoming people, let's just do that. Fuck it.
They're creating new jobs for the jobs that they destroy.
Creating new jobs for mercenaries.
Training.
That's right around that region, right? The Strait of Hormuz is where all of the oil boats move in and out.
Yeah, well, since 9/11,
Blue's barking in her sleep.
Since 9/11, the airports have gone crazy. You know, I haven't tried to fly, but I don't want to.
I don't want to, on general principle.
I'm not. It's not like I'm afraid of flying into a building. I'm just. I don't want all the people rummaging through my shit.
I don't. Yeah, I don't need my shit rummaged through or pictures taken of me naked or exposed to a bunch of x-ray radiation. And in a very untimely fashion at that.
No. I want to be able to bring a soda onto the plane.
There's actually interrogation rooms where they state that you cannot have any recording devices. So they can pretty much just like, oh, you don't want to cooperate? We'll take you in this back room and beat you into submission, and we can say whatever we want because there's no recording devices.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take your cell phone in or anything.
No third parties either.
Yeah, is there anything to watch over the TSA? A while ago, they bought a whole bunch of bullets that were hollow point.
Was it? Homeland Security or to TSA?
They're kind of one and the same.
Oh, that's true. Well, you know, for the checkpoints on the streets, you gotta be careful with those.
Like DUI checkpoints? I haven't seen any military ones yet.
Well, not here in Spokane.
But no.
We have been faced with, like, a natural disaster. Like Katrina. They went door to door and took the people's guns.
Ugh, fuck. That's... When they take your guns, then, you know, shit's really gonna hit the fan.
Well, there's a video of a little old lady. Just type in, like, for those listeners out there, in YouTube, if you, YouTube, Katrina gun control... There's a nice little segment, and it's got just this nice little lady who was in the Katrina, and she had a bunch of food, and she had a gun. It was a revolver, a six-shooter, and she was, the police were going door-to-door, and they came in. Everything was cool. The police had the camera, or maybe the news was with the police going door-to-door, whatever they were doing, but... In a non-threatening way, she was holding the gun, talking with the police officers, and one of them saw it, and, like, three more of them, like, tackled this little old lady that did nothing to provoke them.
Yeah, they're really... For people who carry guns, they are really bad at assessing the situation and behaving appropriately. I mean, if I was a police officer... And, I mean, maybe there's something I don't know that prevents them from doing this. I would practice with my gun all the time.
Well, it's not that the lady did nothing to provoke them. And all they would have had to do is say, excuse me, could you, you know, put that down? And, but no, they saw it and they tackled her.
Yeah, because they...
In her own kitchen.
Are probably nervous.
Well, yeah, and that's understandable, but this little old lady that's, you know...
Yeah, and I'm saying that they should be... well enough practiced that they don't get nervous. Or like the recent one where they hit a bunch of bystanders in New York.
Yeah.
Part of the whole shot taking process is assessing what the bullet will hit when it goes through the target.
Mm-hmm.
Because yeah. Like flesh doesn't stand up to much.
Mm-hmm. It's like that scene in Trailer Park Boys. Alright, Ricky, if you pull the trigger, the bullet's going to go through the doll and into your friend Bubbles. You're going to kill Bubbles.
These two came in talking about shit hawks and pissed themselves and passed out.
Is that what happened, Sam? Yeah, that's what happened, George.
Sam Blasco. Why don't you go pave your cave, you caveman?
Walrus looker.
You know what? I hear onion rings. I hear cheeseburger and mustard coagulating and shit. But I don't hear a heart, motherfucker.
1.21 gigaburgers.
Inflatable Elvis.
Randy, don't play me. Don't play me like that. Motherfuckers with guts like that. Ain't on the chicken sandwiches. They're definitely on the cheeseburgers.
I need a store-bought cheeseburger. All right, that's enough.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Trailer Park Boys, do check it out. It's a really good show.
Yeah, and if you made Trailer Park Boys and you hear this, you should send us a copy.
And come on the show and talk with us.
Oh, that too. Yeah. I want to know what Julian, Ricky, and Bubbles have to say about 9/11.
Oh, that'd be great.
And Leahy, especially, as a law enforcement officer.
Be cool if we could get the guys on as character.
Well, they never break character, I don't think.
I thought they got a new show with different characters.
Oh, did they stop now?
Yeah. They kind
of. Why?
They were perfect.
That's the only show I've ever seen that made me actually want to live in a trailer park in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It's a community.
Play them back to back with episodes of Cops so that you can keep perspective.
okay, in 9/11, everything has already gone down, and
right,
firemen are going into the building, and they're staging in the lobbies and things, and there's a video out of a firefighter sitting outside, and he's all, like, fucked up, like, something just bashed him in the face, and he's saying, like, don't go in there, it's still under attack, they're still bombing, and things are exploding in the lobby.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
So, there's really, I've heard you reference enough YouTube clips just in this time that we've been talking to think that, okay, something more is going on there.
I'd like to hope that more people think like that. You know, and I think to categorize the truth movement is as unpatriotic is so against patriotism, you know? I think that as Americans, we need to question what happened. Even if they did the report, which they actually spent less on investigation of 9/11 than they did at Bush's re-election party, which is fucking disgusting.
Yeah, and 9/11 is also a huge point of contention. Like, if they're not transparent about anything else, they should figure out what happened there. And the fact that they're kind of dismissive of it, like, you can pretty much only publicly say about 9/11, oh, they're the heroes that went in, those firefighters, and oh, the people that died, and, you know, all the typical, you know, honor the dead, respectful stuff. Good. And that's good, but sometimes you have to get past all of that frou-frou stuff.
Figure out what actually happened.
Yeah. Were there bombs going off? Were there... Did somebody set this up? Should we be bringing
alarm
mass murder charges against Dick Cheney?
Yeah.
I mean, or how about just corruption charges, since he's made tons and tons of money off rebuilding what the United States blew up in Iraq?
Ugh. What a horrible person. Well, hopefully, you know, one day a president will come along kind of like John F. Kennedy and will actually want to retouch on all that stuff and get some truth for us.
Before he gets shot?
Before he gets shot. Because, you know, we are a nation that is against secret societies by nature. And I'd say that what's
but
going
also
on in the government,
built out of secret societies. It's so cognitively dissonant.
Yeah.
And there's tons of Mason symbols all over our money, all over the Capitol building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Masonic.
I heard a weird one that the peace sign, or V for victory, is actually an occult symbol, and it was popularized in part by Aleister Crowley. And that's pretty out there, but there's a lot of people flashing this weird symbol if it has any magical power or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm saying that's what defeated the Nazis.
No!
For it being a really beautiful, clear day in Lower Manhattan, it's amazing how many different shades of color the videos that we got from, depending on which news company did it, like the tint or the hue of the color, like some are,
yeah, some of them are like
sunset,
yellow, or, you know,
super smoggy, like it should have been at LA, it should have been in sundown, but it was at like 8 in the morning.
I think in general the videos are pretty crappy.
Yeah, they really
all
are.
Of them. There must be one that's, you know, from a security camera on an adjacent building or something.
Well, that was all taken by the FBI and stuff.
Oh.
Just like the Pentagon footage.
Yeah,
there was like five or six different cameras that would have caught it, but as soon, like minutes after it happened, the FBI rushed in and was like, hey, we need this videotape and you gotta destroy everything that you have about it. National security and the like.
Okay, that's extremely suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
And just then, being on top of it in that kind of timely fashion is extremely suspicious.
When I say minutes, it could have been 15 to 20, but I think it was no less than a half hour, or no more than a half hour after it happened.
Well, even it happening in the first day would be fast. I mean, people get shot on the street or something, and a security camera catches it, and it takes them days to think, oh, the security camera in the subway might have seen them get stabbed. Better check it.
Yeah.
Oh, there he is. Oh, but it's just half of his face.
And the hunt continues.
We'll just zoom in endlessly and change the angle of the camera impossibly. Because we're on TV.
Enhance.
Gotcha.
There was a lady that worked at the Pentagon who was told that she could bring her. The daycare at the Pentagon was closed that day. Suspicious. And they let her bring her child all the way up to the desk with her. And she saw an explosion. Granted, she was inside the building, so it would be pretty hard to see a plane if, you know, whatever. And she was actually able to walk out the hole that whatever made the impact made. Like, she was able to walk out that big round hole before the building fell down and just opened up. And then, like, they sat her down and interrogated her and they're like, hey, what did you see? And she's like, well, I saw an explosion. And they correct her and said, no, you saw a plane.
Leading.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Objection. Leading the witness. So, was the daycare section in the same section that got destroyed?
I don't think it was in the same section, but I think it was. I'm pretty sure a lot of the security at the Pentagon was also allowed a day off or something along those lines. The nose of the plane that hit the second tower, mm-hmm. coming out of the other side. Now, okay, it might have hit the sky view, or the sky lobby. Like, in the middle of each tower, there was a sky lobby that you could go and get a coffee from a Starbucks and just sit
like
there.
In True Lies, when Arnold Schwarzenegger shoots the missile through the building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah. I thought that was an unfinished floor.
Was it? No, wait. It was, look, there's that guy who's dancing around, the janitor guy. It's the comic relief during those scenes. I think they might have killed him without saying anything.
I don't remember that part. But yeah, Sky Lobby, where you can just go and chill and look over the beautiful New York skyline. Apparently, that's where the plane hit. So, if it's a sky lobby, there wouldn't be much there except for a few pieces of furniture. And
right.
That would bring us back to...
it's like an airplane terminal, sort of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Just big and
just
open.
Just a big, empty room.
Mm-hmm. It's a few places to sit, but for the most part, it's pretty empty. So this plane hit it, and that might be why the nose of the plane was able to go all the way through the building. Maybe. But if it's a sky lobby, and there's not much in there, that 600 degrees definitely wouldn't have reached 3,000 degrees.
Yeah, it probably would have gone out on its own.
Mm-hmm.
In a place like that, I'd imagine there's a bunch of carpet and then just a bunch of, like, drywall and plastic. And...
Did you know... I'm not sure if this is an accurate percentage, but, the...
The towers were supposed to be like 68% asbestos.
Oh yeah.
And they were supposed to have been they wanted to demo the buildings because they were kind of unsightly compared to the other buildings in the New York skyline. It was just blocky and they're just there, you know. Some they rarely were they filled the capacity as far as office tenants. So yeah. they actually had They got a quote on demoing the building. I think it was like 2 years before 9/11, so like 99 or 98. But it, because of the amount of asbestos in the building, it would have been outrageously expensive.
Oh, now, yeah, because they have to put people in with hazard pay to go gut it, right? Yeah.
No, doing asbestos removal, I've done that, and it's expensive stuff. You gotta be careful with what you're doing.
I heard they were gonna go through it with that demolition process anyway, but then suddenly decided to against it.
Mm-hmm. Because they thought up a better idea. But
the idea of
asbestos on its own, you know, back in the day, aristocrats would have asbestos weaved napkins, and when it got dirty, they'd throw the napkin into the fire. But then they'd go through and pull the napkin out, because asbestos doesn't burn. That's why we put it in everything. And it would be clean. And it was like a party trick for the aristocrats back in the day. So how does a building that's, you know, the majority of it is asbestos, a material that's not supposed to burn, melt? And why was there this huge pool of molten metal at Ground Zero?
Well, the molten metal sounds like it was the remains of the pillars.
The thermite covered pillars? But the ground remained molten under there for like months. It stopped salvage or cleanup efforts, because every time they'd find a pool of molten metal, they'd have to stop. And why was Building 7? They found those same pools under Building 7 too. Even though there was no plane with no jet fuel to melt the pillars, they found
this
stuff.
See, but even if it was thermite, that's a fairly quick reaction.
Well, there's thermite and there's the one that burns even hotter. And I think that one...
Don't remember the name?
I don't remember the next one up. But it was something thermite.
That sounds suspiciously similar to what happens in a nuclear reactor when it melts down.
Yeah.
I didn't get it until Fukushima, but meltdown is literal. Like, it melts through the reaction chamber and onto the floor of wherever it is and keeps going.
It's kind of like the spit or the blood of an alien. An alien.
Exactly. But that oxidizes really pretty quick. This stuff
eats its way
to... What's the half-life of plutonium?
So it'll go until it reaches...
It'll stay that hot until enough of the radioactive material decays into neutral stuff to cool it enough that it isn't active anymore. Like that. And even then, we'll still be heinously radioactive.
You know, I heard today that there's been a a number of like children with like radiation style defects coming out of Japan, and over in Japan they've actually told the doctors to stop looking at it. Like they don't want to acknowledge it. Like they're refusing.
There is a tendency in the Japanese government to do that kind of thing. Like mm-hmm. one of the ways they tried to fix their economy was by forgetting 10 years of economic history.
Oops. It'll sort itself out in the numbers.
It worked for a while. And now it's like 37,000 yen to a dollar.
Ouch.
Oops.
Oops, indeed.
But they seem to be getting by.
You know, the reactors in a lot of the, I think it's 23 different nuclear plants over in South Korea, they have, like, false, or, like, forged safety certificates for the reaction chamber. And now they're starting to notice a bunch of micro fractures in one of them. So this might be really bad.
So it's going to start leaking radiation.
I've been hearing micro fracture a lot lately.
Well, in a nuclear reactor, that's all it would take to leak material.
Mm-hmm. Which is bad.
I think I've also heard it recently regarding tectonics somehow. Like, I think it's on 3-Minute News when he's talking about the all the quakes down by Australia.
Hmm.
I don't remember what it was exactly, though.
I was thinking just in regards to nuclear reactors, I've been hearing microfractures a lot.
So how many are there?
I think it was like 34 in the path of Hurricane Sandy alone.
Really? Nuclear?
Yeah. And then there's...
I think it's a really cool power source, but the track record is so lousy. And we've had that less than 100 years, and we've had a handful of catastrophic accidents. Like, an explosion at a coal plant would suck, and probably would kill people, but
nowhere
you could rebuild on the land the same day.
Yeah.
Not wait 50 years for it to get kind of sick. What, like, there's the one in Pennsylvania, I think, 3 Mile Island.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's radioactive. I think you can go out and visit it, but
you probably don't want to. The Bam Margera goes there every so often, doesn't he?
Yeah. You
telling me that?
I think it's he did an episode there of his show. I think it's not quite as bad as. Yeah. I saw there's a couple of YouTubes of crazy Russians going on a tour of Chernobyl, and they pull out the Geiger counter in certain spots, and it's like just, and they're like standing in an elementary school room that's been derelict for 70s, 80s?
I think it was the 70s. 77.
They probably got astronaut levels of radiation exposure during their tour. 86.
Hmm. Was Chernobyl?
Yes. In Ukrainian, Chernobylska Katastrofa. Hey, I kind of understand that.
Yeah.
The thing I really like about Chernobyl is that they They keep a huge concrete building over the still reacting reactor called a sarcophagus. And they have monitoring equipment inside there. And there's tons and tons of black mold growing on the walls of the reaction chamber. It just goes to show you.
I'm simply saying that life finds a way.
No!
All right. I think we've covered a lot of ground, and we should pick a song for this episode and wrap her up.
Any ideas?
It should have something to do with destruction, buildings, I don't know.
Transformers?
They're robots in disguise. Hmm. Maybe that's what happened. The World Trade Center just went home, man. I'm down for Transformers. You know, Leonard Nimoy was in the movie, the live action one.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
He said that in the third new Transformers.
Really?
Yeah.
Fuck.
He was in there.
Why didn't he just quote everything that Spock says?
Yeah, he did. That was pretty much it. I was listening to it. I'm like, that voice sounds really familiar. And then he said that, and I'm like, oh, man. That kind of just ruined it. Kind of just ruined the magic. I really don't hope I don't hear Smaug say the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
Smaug.
He's going to be Smaug in the new Hobbit movie.
Oh, man. Shouldn't it be Sean Connery?
That would be cool, too.
He was Dragonheart.
Sean Connery should be the leader of the human village. In Hobbit.
Oh, yeah. The guy with the black arrow?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that guy. Yeah, I was thinking about that black arrow. And I've been doing some archery lately, and I got carbon arrows. And I don't think his black arrow was magic. I think he just was the only person to have a carbon arrow in all of Middle Earth.
That's a good idea.
And, it would fly really straight compared to some weird-ass wood with turkey feathers all over it.
Archery is a great skill to have because you don't need to rely so much on ammunition, which is, you know, it could be hard to come by one day. So it's good to not develop a reliance on something that is so hard to come by.
True. Learn to fletch your own arrows.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've done some of it. It's not too difficult.
String a bow.
It's difficult to do well.
Fly fishing, like tying a fly.
Yeah, I think I want to start tying flies made out of dog hair.
Yeah.
I've heard it works well, actually, and I've got a dog here.
I have a dog, too. I seem to have extra dog hair on the floor.
Yeah. Often. Oh. All right, there's one thing I want to do before we sign off.
1-7-3-4-6-7-3-2-1-4-7-6 Charlie 3-2-7-8-9-7-7-7-6-4-3-Tango-7-3-2-Victor-7-3-1-1-7-8-8-8-7-3-2-4-7-6-7-8-9-7-6-4-3-7-6.